At the 2026 World Cup, Japan lost 2-1 against Brazil. But this video isn't really about the result of one match. There are three questions worth asking. First, why did Japan lose after taking the lead? Second, why does Japan keep falling just one step short, tournament after tournament? And third, what would it actually take to cross that final margin? Let's go through them one by one. First, let's lay out what happened. On June the 29th, 2026, in Houston, the two sides met in the round of 32. Japan took the lead in the 29th minute through Kaishu Sano, punishing a Brazilian mistake with a sharp finish. But after the break, Casemiro equalized with a header. And deep into stoppage time, substitute Gabriel Martinelli scored the winner. Japan lost 2-1. A first-ever place in the last 16 would have to wait, once again. It's worth emphasizing that Japan's first half was, without question, world-class. They contained Brazil's attack with disciplined, organized defending, and broke quickly once they won the ball. The plan they had prepared worked, and they went into halftime with the lead. Against the five-time champions, Japan refused to give up control for 45 minutes. Here's some important context. For this match, Japan was missing four key players. Wataru Endo, Takefusa Kubo, Takumi Minamino, and Kaoru Mitoma, central figures in attack and defense. What hurt wasn't just the quality of the starting 11. The very substitutes who could change a match in the second half were also limited. Brazil, on the other hand, had a clear motivation. In a 2025 friendly, Japan had actually come from behind to beat Brazil. So for Brazil, this was a rematch, a chance for revenge. Japan is no longer an unknown underdog. It is now a team that opponents study and prepare for seriously. Think back to the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Against both Germany and Spain, it was the substitutes who decided the games. Changing the game in the second half was Japan's greatest weapon. This time, that weapon was taken away from the start. That's a crucial difference. So how did the world see this match? Let me summarize the reactions on Reddit by theme. The most common response pointed to Japan's brutal luck in the draw. Belgium in 2018, Croatia in 2022, and now Brazil in 2026. Facing a powerhouse in the very first knockout round, every single time, a lot of sympathy in that thread. The next most common view praised Japan's progress. Missing four key players and still pushing Brazil this hard. Hold your head high, many said. There was also clear appreciation that more Japanese players are competing in Europe, steadily deepening the squad. On the other hand, there were calm, critical points too. Japan's preparation worked in the first half, but Brazil's adjustment was better in the second. Specifically, some noted that Brazil switched to putting long crosses directly into the box. The difficulty of closing out a lead. That problem, they said, has come around again. What's interesting is the perspective from Japan's Asian neighbors. Compared with Korea, some discuss differences in hunger and in concentrating national resources. And across the whole thread, there was a shared hope that Asian football itself becomes stronger. Now we reach the heart of this video. Let's examine the true nature of that last step, from four angles. First, the quality of the squad. The number of Europe-based players is no longer a measure of strength. What matters is which league they play in and how much responsibility they carry for winning and losing. Experience in extreme environments, like a Champions League knockout tie or the final stretch of a title race. How many players have that experience is what shows up in the 90 minutes of a knockout match. Second, in-game adjustment. In the second half, Brazil clearly changed how they attacked, adding width and pressure from outside Japan's block. Japan, in response, could not play enough cards to deal with that change. The power to change your approach mid-match is not just about the coach. It's the quality of the whole squad, including the players on the bench. Third, experience you can't see on paper. Brazil is a nation that has won the World Cup 5 times. The composure to score a winner in stoppage time is not merely technical. It's the historical accumulation of a country that knows how to win. That single late goal carried all of it. Fourth, something with even deeper roots. In Brazil and Argentina, football has sat at the center of society for generations. Japan's J-League, by contrast, was born in the 1990s. Its professional history is only about 30 years. That gap in cultural accumulation is closing, steadily. But it won't be filled overnight. That, too, is a fact. So what can be done? One key, I think, is redefining the role of the J-League. To take in talent from across Asia, develop it, and send it on to Europe. To become, in effect, Asia's growth engine. A mindset where only Japan tries to get stronger has already hit its ceiling. Building a competitive environment across Asia, where you regularly face strong opponents. It seems like a detour, but it may be the shortest path. Let's bring this together. Praising the performance and confronting the problems are not contradictory. Japan's organization is already at a world-class level. That's exactly why Brazil studied and prepared so seriously. From challenger to a team that gets studied, Japan has reached that stage. The true nature of that last step. It was squad depth of players who carry the result, in-game adjustment, and the competitive environment across Asia. All of them take time, but the direction is not wrong. The next stage is to win the matches you can win. Japanese football is standing at that doorway. For the full analysis and the complete global reactions, please read the blog, Seikeihan, linked in the description. Thanks for watching.